It's interesting for me to say good evening. Some of you know I've mentioned it before, because if you see me come up here, I'll often say like, hey, good morning, because I've gone to church in the morning my whole life. One of the things that I've never had to compete with going to church in the morning is football. I love watching football, and now living in the North Midwest, there's a game going on this evening. I don't know if any of you heard about it, but if no one's TiVoing it, the Packers are currently beating the Vikings 19-13. So that's happening. That's for all the people who are gonna. That's for all the people who are listening to this later, and now you feel guilty because I told you what the score was, and you could have just come. In any case, I'm really humbled to be here again this evening. It's been lots of travel this fall, and it's wonderful to be back. So before we jump in, could we enter into a word of prayer? God, thank you so much for the gift of this evening and this time to be together in community, for the gift of music and laughter and friends, for new faces, for old faces, for a time to come together and rest, and most of all, for a time to come and center ourselves in worship and prayer as we prepare to go out into the week to be the hands and feet of Christ. Be with us as we receive this message. Christ, let me pray. Amen. So, this, as Josiah's mentioned, is the third and final installment in a mini-series on simplicity. And we're going to talk about simplicity in community tonight. So simplicity in the sense of kind of what it means to be community, what it means to be us as Third Way, as a church. And when talking about a community of faith in general, there are a few things to keep in mind. So there's our faith and our life. And community is kind of, I thought I had a different slide there, but so you can go back to not be distracting. There it is. Community is kind of our faith and our lifestyle. Thank you, Isaac. Community at its best, at least in my experience, is there for you when you're grieving or discouraged and when you're down, and is also there to celebrate you with you in times of joy. And that's community. You know, in general, we have that community in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our, you know, schools, activities, hopefully. And this is something that we hope to find in our churches too, to be there for each other, to support one another, to rejoice with one another. And personally, my faith journey has been made complete in the context of community. I'm surrounded by people to pray for and to pray with me. I'm surrounded by people who rejoice and praise God with me. And I'm also surrounded by people who mourn with me. We walk together, we discern with one another, we sharpen one another along the way. That's one of the things about Anabaptist community, right? You know, we are not complete without one another. We have some foundational understandings of this thing that we call faith, but it takes one another in discussion, discernment, and in prayer to build this community together. Community has always been important to me, and especially so in my faith journey. And because I always like to assure folks that at least some of what I say is backed up, so here's what the interwebs have to say about community. So Isaac, you can go back. So community, as defined by the interwebs, is an unified body of individuals as a group of people with a common characteristic or interest within a larger society, a social, religious, occupational, or other group sharing common characteristics or interests and perceived or perceiving itself as distinct in some respect. From a larger society within which it exists, and also a gathering of awesomeness. Wikipedia, you can say anything. And I want to draw your attention to this, this idea of a group within larger groups, right? I mean, we always, as humanity, kind of divide ourselves. We find ways to divide ourselves. And one of the things that came across in our teaching team got together on Monday night, and one of the things that was pretty important for us to make clear is that for some reason, when we talk about this stuff, we talk about who we're not all the time. And so as we're having this conversation this evening, just remember that we're not going to define ourselves by what we're not, and we're not going to be judgmental. We're going to enter into this in humility. So in any case, this is what the interwebs say. So when we talk about simplicity in community, it's really not about creating a description or defining the idea, because the idea and the description are there. Talking about simplicity in community is really just about creating space for reflection. Talking about how we bring these ideas of faith and life together, the faith and the theology simplicity that Chris talked about with us a few weeks ago, and the life that Josias talked about us last week. And most importantly, it's how we engage as a community, not only with one another, but with the world around us as we bring these things together. And because it's important to do these things in community, we're going to do this together. So I'm going to take the next few minutes to set up a time of reflection for us. And there are some of you, I realize, that do better reflecting with your hands, writing and drawing and stuff. So there are some paper and pens at the end of the benches. You can feel free to write on those if you want. If you're just awesome and contemplative and reflective on your own and you don't need these things, that's fine. But so I'm going to set up a time of reflection. So there's going to be a time of reflection. Not yet. I'm sorry. I'm going to set up a time of reflection. So the next few minutes are going to be preparing for that. That was confusing. I apologize. Your willingness is amazing. So part of the way that I prepare for giving a message like this, anytime I'm preaching or teaching or leading a Bible study, is to spend a lot of time in reflection. Personally, that's just one of the ways that I prepare. And to do the best job that I can of listening to the ways that the Spirit is moving throughout the week, through conversations with people in the community, through the news, and through a lot of prayer. And I have to tell you that this week I've struggled a lot. Because selfishly, I wanted to have this message, you know, this thing to take with you that you could go home with, you know, like last week, you know, to make the main thing the main thing. Way to go, Josias. You know, to have this teaching, and I realized, you know, there's so much going on in the world, great tragedy, an incredible worldwide refugee crisis. There's racial tension right here in our city. And wholeheartedly, I believe that God is working amidst all of this. And the overwhelming word to me this week was not like this big, huge message, but was really a fittingly simple one. And so if you want to turn to Luke 10, it's also very familiar, so you might not have to. But we're going to go to Luke chapter 10. And this story kind of came up a lot while I was working in my garage on a project on Monday, while I was intentionally studying, while I was speaking with a group of students at Iowa Mennonite School on Wednesday. And even this morning, I was at worshiping with our brothers and sisters at Emmanuel Mennonite Church, and it came up again. And so I just feel like we're gonna jump in here with Luke chapter 10. And starting in verse 25, as many of you may know the story, a lawyer stands up to test Jesus and asks him, "Teacher, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" To which Jesus responds with the question, "What is written in the law, the Torah? How do you read this? How do you interpret this law?" And like a good man of the law, this guy answers, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus responds in affirmation saying, do this and you will live, which we shouldn't be surprised about because this is something that Jesus says elsewhere too. Matthew 22, it references the same language, this time in Jesus' words, but again, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the main commandment. And love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says in Matthew, you know, all of the law and the prophets rest on these things. But then this guy, this lawyer who's trying to trip Jesus up, he takes the question one step further. He has to justify himself after all. He says to Jesus, and who's my neighbor? And so Jesus responds with the Good Samaritan story. And we could like do a whole sermon series on the Good Samaritan. I met a guy a number of weeks ago, Leroy Barber, who has, he's a man up in, based out of Portland, Oregon now. He wrote an incredible book, kind of focuses around racial reconciliation. And if you want to borrow it, I'll give it to you. I was in a conversation with him a few weeks ago. It was interesting, you know, of all the things that we talk about with the Good Samaritan story and all the things we can apply it to, he quotes, I think, Martin Luther King when he says, you know, everybody talks about how do we best be the Good Samaritan and I want to fix the road, you know, but that's a whole nother story. Something for you guys to think about. So Jesus responds with this Good Samaritan story to the question, who is my neighbor? And the incredible thing about this story, the incredible thing about the Good Samaritan story is that the whole story, Jesus tells this incredible parable, one of the most well-known parables, to answer one question. Who is the neighbor? And the answer to this whole parable is that the neighbor is the one who actively shows mercy. But he uses the story in a way that only the greatest storyteller could ever do, to leap across all kinds of cultural boundaries, of religious barriers, and so many things. But the whole point of the story that Jesus crafts together is that the neighbor is the one who actively shows mercy. So what does it mean for us as a community, embodying this theology and this lifestyle that Jesus has called us to? When he calls us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind and all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. What does it mean? And this comes, I want to read you something that comes directly from our website. Our mission together is, and this is from Third Way's website, not some website that I created specifically for this purpose. Although it does say we're awesome. Inviting people into kingdom community and joyfully following in Jesus' way. We are trying to influence as many people as we can to passionately express our worship and devotion to Christ, to choose the beautiful and challenging path of covenant community, to personally pursue the practices of Christian transformation, and to bring the very best of our gifts and resources to the mission of the church. And finally, to pray and work for measurable kingdom. I love whoever's idea was to put in measurable. Pray and work for measurable kingdom change in our neighbors and our city. Amazing. So we're going to enter into this time of almost, not yet. He's like on the edge of his seat. We're going to enter into this time, but before we do, I want to recap a little bit of what we talked about a few weeks ago. So we go to this next slide. Simplicity in theology. Chris Sankler preached on this, and it's really important for us to embody this as we enter into this time of reflection. Simplicity is about clinging to what really matters and letting go of the rest. And with theology, it's useful when it helps us to better love God, to love others, and it's harmful when it gets in the way of our loving God and loving others. So it's at best when it helps us, and it's harmful when it gets in the way. Simple faith is a lived faith, founded on and strengthened by our experiences of the Holy Spirit and the things that we have done with God that we could not have done ourselves. And simple faith is a humble faith, which recognizes that there are some things that we cannot know in this life. And then Josias last week talked about simplicity in lifestyle, and that living simply is not simply about simplicity. Try to say that 10 times fast. It's not simply about living simplicity. It's not a movement, right? It's not a movement. And there's a couple of great articles on that, by the way. Living simply is about doing and having less in order to love more. We live simply so that others may live. And living simply is about making the main thing, and cutting out the rest. Amen. And it's possible, but it takes sacrifice. So, as we think about this, as we think about the simplicity in theology and the simplicity in community, and we think about our mission together, and to think about Jesus pointing us to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, when we think about simplicity in community, it's really the application of this. And I don't think that it's fair for one person to tell a community what that is. So, I've said reflection about four times, and now we're actually going to do it. You can come on up. And with all of this in mind, we're going to move into this time of reflection. And this is, I really want you to enter into this as an active part of hearing our message today. And keep in mind that this is the focal point of our time, joining together in prayer and reflection for ourselves, for one another, and for our community, to ask the question, how do we simply engage in the world around us as Christ calls us? How do we simply engage in the world around us as Christ calls us? Let this be our prayer. Thank you. Micah 6 asks us, the author asks, what does the Lord require of you? And the answer is not thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil. It's to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly on this journey with God. So as we're reflecting, what are ways that we as community can do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly? I think there's a slide. Lord, hear our prayer. Make us instruments of your unbound grace and peace in this world, and hear our prayer. I'm going to leave these up for just a little bit in case you want to jot them down to continue reflecting on this week. I'll also post them on the group's Facebook page. But I'd encourage you to continue to ask yourselves these questions. I'd encourage you to ask them in your house churches, to ask them with people in this community. And as we talk with one another, to really discern what it means to simply be community. Because the holidays are here. And next week starts Advent, which is a time of anticipation, expectation, and preparation. And it's my favorite time of year. And I think that it's... thank you. And I think that it's fitting. I really do. I think it's fitting that we talk about this practice of making space and fully engaging in the work of God's kingdom ahead of Advent. Because with all the distractions of culture and the dangers of consumerism and the preparation of our homes for food and for guests and for family, sometimes we get caught up in a lot of complexity. So as we're extra mindful this week, take time to step back and reflect on how we might more fully engage in the kingdom with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. How we as a community might more fully engage in the kingdom with all of our hearts, our souls, our mind, and our strength. And I want to leave you, want to leave us with some words from an early Anabaptist, from the founder, at least for the namesake of our Mennonite faith, Menno Simons. I found these kind of encouraging to us as we go out, centering what we are and what we teach. He says, "We do not teach and practice community of goods, but we teach and testify the word of the Lord, that all true believers in Christ are of one body, partakers of one bread, have one God and one Lord. Seeing that they are one, it is Christian and reasonable that they also have divine love among them, and that one member cares for another, both the scriptures and nature teach us this. They show mercy and love as much as in them. They do not suffer a beggar among them. They have pity in the wants of the saints. They receive the wretched. They take strangers into their homes. They comfort the sad. They lend to the needy. They clothe the naked. They share their bread with the hungry. They do not turn their face from the poor, nor do they regard their decrepit limbs and flesh. This is the kind of community that we teach. This is the kind of community that we're a part of. This is the kind of community that we've been called to live.